I put things down and I can't remember where I've put them. And I spent ages and ages trying to find things. And this morning, I guess what I'm looking at is my glasses, because I know I've seen them around somewhere and I can't for the life of me work out what I've done with them. And I know that others will do the same as well, because I see some others sometimes fumbling around looking for things and often looking for glasses, and they're saying, I can't find them anywhere. I've put them down somewhere. I just can't see them. I've turned the house upside down. I cannot see them. And suddenly, oh, there they are. Now, I don't think I'm the only one that's ever done that. And, or maybe you're the kind of person that no matter what you've done to prepare yourself to get out of the house, you always have to have that one final check in the mirror just to make sure that the pants aren't sticking outside of your trousers, that the collar is just about done, that the lipstick isn't too smudged, everything is just as it should be. You know it is, but you still have to have that one final check just to be absolutely sure before you leave the house. Well, this morning is all about checking in the mirror, checking yourself in the mirror. You see, when we come to God's Word, God's Word is not just simply words on a page. God's Word is alive, is active, it's sharp, and it brings real change. It does things. When we read the Scriptures, when we hear the Scriptures, things happen. Life changes. Things are restored. Things that were broken get mended. There is creation and then recreation taking place as well. James, as we've just heard read, he's talking about temperament and how we get that under control. He says this in verse 19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So everyone should listen more. Let's try this one here. Everyone should listen more. In other words, become an active listener. Do you ever find yourself with people that you're talking, they ain't listening, they're looking all over the place. They're looking over your head because there might be somebody else just a little bit more interesting to talk to than they think that you are at the moment. Or they're distracted by what else is going around. You're trying to tell them something really quite personal or significant for you, but they don't seem to be particularly looking around. Maybe you're trying to think about how you get your words out. You're trying to think how you express yourself. And because you've just taken the audacity of taking a nanosecond breath or pause to think about what you're going to say, they've filled the void for you and they've filled in your sentences. They've added in the words to complete your sentences as if that's what you should be saying. Maybe they're ones who, to be honest, they never ever seem to ask you any questions. They just talk and they talk and they talk and they talk about themselves. They don't appear to be interested in you. In fact, they seem really to talk at you rather than even with you in conversation. And we've all met people like that. We've come across them, maybe in your workplace, or maybe there's a neighbour down the road who's like that with you. I hope people don't think that of me. Because I want to be an active listener, not just somebody who hears, but somebody who actually listens actively to what people are saying. And James says, don't just hear, listen. Everyone, he says, should be quick to listen. And whether you're a person of faith, whether you're a person on a spiritual journey, whether you've been a Christian for many years or not, all of us can take that on board. Everyone should be quick to listen. He then goes on to say that everyone should be slow to speak. You know, we hear that again and again mentioned about the fact that we're given two ears but one mouth, and maybe keeping that in proportion, a physical reminder. He's not saying don't speak out of fear because people might not be interested in what you've got to say. He's not saying don't speak because you don't have a right to be present. Neither is he saying don't speak in case you get your words wrong or you say the wrong thing. He's not saying don't speak out of fear. He is saying don't be quick to jump in, giving your side all the time, speaking over people. Be willing to hold back a little bit, not just talking at people, so that you and I don't have to be the ones that always have the last word. We don't have to be the ones who always have the last word. Sometimes it's generous just to allow other people to have their say and to speak more than we do. And then he says, so we've got this one here. Then we've got this one here. We've just had a thought about. And then we can go for this one. Let's go for this one here. Be restrained. He says, everyone should be slow to become angry. Notice it's everyone should be slow to become angry. He's not saying it's wrong always to be angry, because sometimes anger is the absolute righteous God thing to be at that time. Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4 says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down whilst you're still angry. Another way of translating that is, be angry. Be angry. For goodness sake, be angry. Because God is angry at times. But just don't sink to the level that others have got to. And when God is angry about injustice. And he sees the way that some people are treated and the way people who are fleeing from one part of the world to another out of fear for their lives and are then marginalized or labeled as somehow some kind of economy takers and some kind of freeloaders and that kind of thing. God is angry. God is angry at times how people are treated. God is angry at how sometimes people are labeled, how some people are put down. God is angry about injustice. So it's right that at times when you and I are angry, and for goodness sake, sometimes we have to become a bit more angry. Not so placid about injustices we see around the world. But here, the anger that James is talking about is more the petulant anger, the uncontrolled frustration, that we, our ego-driven anger that we sometimes come about. He says, don't be that volatile person who seems to be at a moment ready to explode. And maybe you've got somebody in your workplace that everybody tiptoes around. Nobody's quite prepared to say what really has to be said because they think that the moment something is said, that person is going to erupt in anger. Wow, don't be like that person. Don't be that volatile, fragile person who explodes or goes from 0 to 100 in a matter of a nanosecond. Be restrained. And then he talks about this. Delete filth. Which way are we going? Let's go. Delete filth. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, he says. Maybe it's a bit like a cancerous cell that grows and festers. If it's not dealt with assertively, is not cut out, then it takes hold and it spreads to other parts of the body. Well, sometimes there are things that we allow into ourselves, not just our physical bodies, though it could be. It might be also what we allow into our minds, what we allow in through our eyes, all sorts of things that we allow in. And here it says it's like a filth, it's like a cancerous cell. Cut it out. Don't allow it to take hold. Get rid of all of that evil that is so prevalent. Of course, in doing that, we have to be really careful because very often we don't see that in ourselves, but we do see it in other people. So we can be really quick to label somebody else's stuff as sin, maybe even filth, because it's not something that we struggle with. If it was something we struggle with, well, maybe we'd be less quick to label it quite in that same sort of way. So we have to be really careful that all of us have stuff. Your stuff will be different to my stuff. The kind of stuff that I struggle with will be different to the things that you struggle with. And the things that you struggle with may not be necessarily the things that I always struggle with, though it could be. So we have to be really careful that we're not judging other people. That's not what James is calling us to do. But he is saying to, for us to be aware of this. So what's the answer, he says? Well, the two things. The first is verse 21. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. In other words, accept that these kind of things are actually the way that we're called to be. These are the ways that we are expected to live our lives. Even if it's hard, if it comes from God, if that's what God has for us, then that's what we have to embrace and we have to take on board. We have to be prepared for. Why? Because God knows you and I better than we know ourselves. So yes, accept it. But he says, don't just accept it, actually do it. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So you might find some people who are, I think they're a bit like sermon junkies. And it might be that people are listening to this download. You know, as many people listen to our downloads as actually are here present on a Sunday morning. So there are those, and you might be one, who, yes, you want to consume the word. You're so full of it. You want to listen to every teaching that's going. Conferences, books, YouTube messages, all sorts of stuff. And you are consuming it, or you know somebody who just consumes it and consumes it. Maybe you know somebody, and they have heard it all. They've even listened to it all. But actually, yes, they know much. But have they actually set about doing it? And sometimes some people will know an awful lot about the scriptures, far more than you and I. So they might be able to tell you all the kings in the Old Testament in order, not just of chronology for ages, but they might even be able to tell you about their what rating they are between good and bad, put them in order, or maybe they can put them in order of height, or birthdays, or they can do all sorts of things. They are the kind of people you really desperately want on your quiz team when it's the Bible trivia round. But James says they are deceiving themselves. If they think that it's all about how much knowledge they've acquired, how much information, facts and figures and charts and all sorts, that alone isn't sufficient. It has to go from simply reading it, receiving it, to then acting on it. So James says they deceive themselves. They might be impressed with their knowledge, and you might feel intimidated by their knowledge. But God is not intimidated by them. God knows whether they are living it out or not. So he says, don't be deceived. So remember that King David very quickly discovered that, yes, we humans look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And it's the heart that matters, and whether people are living out what they are talking about. So James says, verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, goes away, and immediately forgets what he looks like. And we today might think, well, that's crazy. Who on earth would forget what they look like? Because we're surrounded by mirrors, and we take selfies, and we, you know, you walk past the shops in the old days before all this sort of stuff. Did you walk past Currys and all the TV shops with all the TV monitors outside and kind of check yourself as you walk down the high street looking at all the TV monitors? We're used to all of that. But back in the day, 2,000 years ago, mirrors were really rare. Not many people had them. They were very expensive, and they were only for the certain rich types. So people rarely got to see what they looked like. By the way, if you are listening on the download today, my name is Danny. I'm 6'4". I am well-ripped and incredibly handsome. That's all you need to know about the quality of the person who's speaking this morning. We can very easily forget what we look like. And James says that. The issue is not, have you filled your heads with knowledge? The issue is not, can you recite all the books in the Bible in order, or even backwards? The issue is, are you living it? Just do it, James says. Don't talk about it. Don't come up with lots of charts and maps. Just do it. Live out what you are reading in the scriptures. At the very end of Jesus' ministry on earth, we read in Matthew chapter 28, the very last words of Matthew's gospel. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Why wouldn't they? But some doubted. Ooh, isn't that a relief? That even in the midst of those who've been around Jesus, doubt can still be at play. And Jesus then gives them a big telling off about doubt and how they need to go and read a certain more scriptures. No. Some doubted, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. Get on with it. Just do it. Live it out. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and hear this, and teaching them not full stop, and teaching them to obey everything. The whole point about teaching ministry isn't about the acquiring of knowledge. It's about obedience. It's about living it out. Do what you are reading. Act on what you are hearing. Put it into practice. Because it's a God thing. This is God's ministry to you. And teaching makes sense when we reflect God's image. So sometimes we get these things like speak less, and it seems really hard. How do I put this into practice? Well, when I look in the mirror, and I'm looking at Jesus, and I'm reflecting on his presence, all of a sudden, it's starting to make sense. When I'm like this, and I'm away from God, how do I put this into practice? How do I make this work? But I'm in God's presence. I'm reflecting on him. I'm spending time with him. I'm communing with him. I'm hanging around him. And all of a sudden, this makes sense. The same again. On my own, I struggle to make sense of it. The moment I'm in God's presence, it makes sense. Do you see the difference? And if you hang out with somebody long enough, you will start to pick up some of their mannerisms. Have you noticed that? There might be a new person, a friend you've struck up with, and you find yourself suddenly picking up some of their mannerisms and saying some of the phrases that they use. You use some of the in-jokes that they have as well. Why? Because you've hung out with them long enough that you've started to even pick up their accent. Oh, yeah? The thing is, when you hang out with God, the same happens. You find yourself being transformed into his image, hanging out with him in his presence. So in our midweek liturgy, in our communion on a Wednesday morning, one of the liturgies we read says this: so we come to God, aware that we need God with every fiber of our being. We want nothing to stand between us. We draw near. And as we are held, we slowly dare to look into the face of the one who holds us. And gradually our own faces and our lives begin to reflect his authority. The teaching of Christ ministry is not meant to be a burden. It's supposed to liberate, to set you free. And when you hang out with God in his presence, you find freedom and liberty. And when I talk about hanging out with God, God is everywhere by his Spirit. Of course he is. No seconds, no place on earth is he not. But sometimes we have to actively open ourselves to him and become consciously aware that surely God is in this place. And I open myself to him. When you do that, life change happens. His Spirit comes through you. You begin to become more like him because you're hanging out with him. Just do it. Don't simply be those who hear and then forget about it. Don't be those who even listen but don't actually act on it. Be those who commit yourself to put into practice the radical teaching and ministry of Jesus Christ. What you see and hear him doing in the New Testament, we seek to live out on the day-by-day basis. Tomorrow morning, when you're at work, tomorrow morning when you're back in a different situation, we live out what God has called us to be. And the blessing for us is this: just do it. Live it out in the name of Christ. Let's just take a moment to pray.